This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, TRÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company on this Monday afternoon. Time for a new episode of The Week in Iceland. My colleague here at RÚV, Ella Maria Davidsdóttir, joins me. Ella, hello.
Hi.
Good to talk to you once again.
You too.
There's a lot to get through, and one of the major stories, I think, in the last week certainly has been the sentencing of the boy, man, and we will get into why that's an important distinction,
yeah.
17-year-old who has been found guilty and sentenced, indeed, for the murder of Bryndís Klára on Culture Night and the attempted murder of two other people as well. He was 16 when he committed this appalling crime, 17 years old when sentenced. And that has, I think, in Iceland caused a lot of concern internationally as well, that because of his age, he's going to get a sentence that a lot of people feel is too short.
Yeah, because by law, he's still a child. And when he commits the crime, he's only 16. And you are, in the eyes of the law, you are a child until you're 18. So that's why.
8 years in prison is what he gets. RÚV last week spoke to Jón Thor Ólason, who is a lecturer in criminal law at the University of Iceland, and says, you know, there have been precedents here. There have been cases where people below the age of 18 have committed terrible crimes, and because they've been tried as children, have ended up with what seem like small sentences.
Yeah, because of his young age and because of the severity of the crime. I mean, he seriously injured, I think, two or three others, and then she was killed. He might have gotten 18 to 20 years if he was tried as an adult.
Yes.
But he will most likely not serve maybe 3 or 5 years, 3 to 5 years, I think, according to the people I've talked to.
Because, again, that would be quite typical, wouldn't it? You'd serve about half of the sentence that you get. So he could be free in as little as 3 or 4 years. The actual article from the General Penal Code, where an offence is committed by a person not yet 18 years of age, and due to their youth it may be considered that a full sentence is unnecessary or harmful, no heavier punishment may be imposed than 8 years imprisonment for an offence committed at this age. Yeah. So he got the maximum allowed by law.
I think it's what society wanted to see, because I think people saw Bryndís Klára as their own child, and it could have happened to anybody, really, because she was just at the wrong place at the wrong time.
And
in essence,
so random, so senseless,
so
cruel,
that
this would have happened to someone of such innocence.
Yeah, because he didn't really see when he was trying to get into the car. They were sitting in the car, and he was trying to get in through the car. He just put his hand inside the window, and they just tried to stab whoever was there. And she just happened to sit there, and he stabbed her.
I think her death, we remember, of course, at her school. All of her school friends wore pink, or very many of them wore pink in her memory to celebrate her life and ensure that she will never be forgotten. But do you think it's also started a conversation, or it's helped to fuel a conversation in Iceland about the rise in violence that we're seeing?
Yeah, because we're seeing really, really young people actually just carrying knives every day. That wasn't the case a few years ago. And if you talk to young people today, especially young boys, they say, I just carried around with me just for security. And security from what? What are you trying to defend yourself from? And I don't know. It's just that development that has been in society over the last few years. You couldn't talk to, I don't know, a young person maybe 5 or 10 years ago that would just go downtown during the weekend and keep a pocket knife or a knife in their pocket.
Yeah.
Just to defend themselves against somebody.
And we've seen it in other countries. I certainly saw it in the UK that young people would carry knives for that reason. They said wrongly, because all the studies show that if you carry a knife, you're more likely to be involved in knife crime, either as a victim or a perpetrator. But they wrongly believed if they carried a knife, it would make them safer. And it's the same argument that you hear in the USA, that the way to protect yourself from a person with a gun is by carrying a gun.
Yeah.
It doesn't hold up.
No, it doesn't really, because it incites more violence.
Yes.
Because if you have a knife and you get in an altercation with somebody, then of course you're going to use that knife.
Absolutely. A tragic story, and maybe, I don't know, hopefully some closure now for her parents and her friends. Let's talk about inflation, because it's gone back up. 4.2% is what it's risen to from 3.8%. First time in nearly a year that inflation has gone up, because it had been going down. It peaked at considerably higher level than it is at the moment, but not a great sign that it's going back up again.
I mean, housing prices have increased like faster than the general price level over the past years. And inflation, excluding house measures, is 3.2%. So, yeah, it's not a good development.
Electricity, housing and heating up by 7.2%. Mm-hmm. Food and beverage is up 5.7%. Mm-hmm. Alcohol and tobacco up 5.6%.
Yeah.
But let's look at what's gone down. Clothing and footwear.
Yeah.
So you can buy some new clothes and some new shoes while you enjoy your Brenovine and your cigarettes.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's and of course this has an impact, doesn't it, on what's going to happen to the rate of interest
when
the bank decides what that is going to be, mm-hmm. because we've all been waiting in Iceland for that interest rate to fall and to keep falling, and a bit of a wobble here, maybe.
Yeah, I know. It's not a good development. And when I saw that the inflation is measured at 4.2, I was just like slightly worried. But I don't know. We never know what's going to happen.
Hopefully that is a blip. Mm-hmm. I want to turn to a story which is of huge concern to people in the Westfjords. And this is the doubt over continuing flights to Ísafjörður. If you don't know the geography of Iceland particularly well, we're in the capital now in Reykjavík. It would take about, assuming all the roads are open, what, about 6 hours to drive to Ísafjörður?
6 or 7 hours.
6 or 7 hours.
Depending on how fast you're driving, yeah.
It's a beautiful drive, but once you get into the West Fjords, you've got to go up and down, up and down, up and down, every single one of those fjords. It's like, just imagine the left, you look at your left hand just now, that's basically the route you've got to take.
Yeah.
There's a lot of driving to do. You can fly there in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful for people in the rest of Iceland, but really, really important for people in Ísafjörður.
Of course.
That scheduled flight, at the moment, is going to be discontinued.
Yes. Apparently, the reason they gave was the route alone could not sustain the operation of the airline's aircraft. Mm. And, I mean, it's understandable. They want the government to, I don't know, join them and try to pay for how expensive it is. Because, I mean, the people that live in Iceland, that live not in the capital, but live in all the corners of the country, they really depend on being able to fly to and from the capital if they want to go to the hospital or anything. And it's kind of an issue for people. And I thought there were a lot of people that were kind of enraged when they heard about that they were going to discontinue the flight route.
I was really amazed because I just thought it was a given that there'd always be flights going to, you know, particularly when you've got international flights coming out of Akureyri and Eilstadur, that Ísafjörður would certainly be on the list for domestic flights. The reason is that you can only fly small planes to Ísafjörður because it's one hell of a landing. It's a really
kind
interesting,
of a difficult airport to land.
It's a really interesting landing. Mm-hmm. It curves at 180 degrees down towards the runway, which is right next to the mountain, which is right next to the sea.
Yeah.
And you can only do that with a small plane because in Greenland, Iceland Air is now going to be serving some new destinations there with bigger planes. The only use left for the small planes is to fly to Ísafjörður, and Icelanders say that that would not be viable on its own. But this is what they've said this week.
Mm-hmm.
They've said that they hope, they really want that if it's going to be viable, they really want to be able to keep serving Ísafjörður because they are going to start flying to Höfn on the south coast.
Mm-hmm.
So that route's going to open back up again. I think everyone wants there to be a solution here.
Yeah. I think so as well, because, I mean, we can't discontinue the flight to Ísafjörður because it's a really important place for a lot of people to... I mean, like you said, the drive from Ísafjörður to the capital, it's a long drive.
Yeah.
So people have to depend on, like, if necessity needs it, then they have the choice to fly.
I'm going there in a couple of weeks to record some shows for Rúv English Radio. And I remember on one occasion when I was making such a trip, my final interview was in Holmavík, which is the other end of the Westfjords. But my flight was back from Ísafjörður.
Mm.
And I would actually have been just about as quick driving straight back to Reykjavík rather than driving back to Holmavík and then driving back from Holmavík to Ísafjörður and then flying south.
Yeah. The Westfjords are kind of a difficult place to drive around, so it takes you a long time to drive between places because of all the fjords.
And it is another reason why this flight is so very important. Mm-hmm. The head of Icelandair has said, we've been serving Ísafjörður for a very long time, we're very interested in it continuing, but there has to be an economic basis for it.
Mm-hmm.
It must be sustainable. And you would wonder at some point if the government might not step in and say, well, we're going to make up the slack here. We're going to take up whatever the gap is because we recognise how important it is that East of Fjordur and the West Fjords have this service.
I think just the government has to step in and take responsibility and keep the flight route open. So, yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people in the West Fjords would be very, very disappointed indeed. And you could imagine that area being depopulated. People thinking, well, if we can't reliably get to Reykjavik or indeed the rest of Iceland, particularly in the winter, then maybe we don't want to live here anymore.
Yeah.
Let's talk about schools. Let's talk about school places. A record number of students will begin upper secondary school this autumn. Some are anxious about not getting into the school they'd most prefer. Others simply say they intend to do their best. And Rúv was at an information session at MK, which is Mentorskolin in Kópavogur, one of those upper secondary schools. And the pressure is on the number of places because there are just so many children and so many students looking for places this year.
Yeah, it's the people that are born in 2009 that are applying for schools now. And I think it's the biggest like population of children that are going into the upper secondary school. So there are a few places. So you have to rate high. You have to get good grades. So, I think it's more important now than ever for these children to just recognize that they have to do well in school. But it's a kind of a little bit too late because they start school in the fall.
Yes.
So I think the only thing they can say is just like cross my fingers and hope for the best, just to see if how many is going to who are going to apply for that this school and that school and just see how it goes. I mean,
when you said the children that were born in 2009, I thought you'd made a mistake there because I thought, well, surely 2009 was about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, tell me about it.
There's no way that anyone born in 2009 can be going into upper secondary school, but that's how old we are.
Yeah.
Because they'll now be 16, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So the year group about to enter upper secondary school, the largest ever, there were 5,000 children born in this year of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
About 250 at this school we're talking about in Kópavogur will get in.
Yeah.
Last year they received 700 applications, which gives you an idea of just how much pressure that there is that's going to be here. Is there a conversation taking place about increasing the number of places in schools?
In schools. I think the directors and the principals and everybody, I think, is on board with that.
Yes.
But the government has to step in and fund the schools more, I think.
Yes.
So as of now, I don't think that's likely. So see, 250 new students will be entering the school, but 700 applications, maybe 1,000 now, who knows?
Mm.
So only a fourth of those who apply will get into the school.
Yes. Let's talk about swimming pools. Do you have a favourite or a local swimming pool?
I actually do. I actually don't live in Reykjavik. I live in Hafnarfjörður.
Okay.
And the swimming pools there are just absolutely perfect. So
yes.
I always go to my local pool that's just 15 minutes from where I live.
Okay.
So,
and is that the pool in Hafnarfjörður? Because I know that there's no outside pool in
It's both. Yeah, it's just inside and then you have an outside pool. But you do have another one, Suðurbeylur, which
the
is also, yeah.
Okay, because across the capital area, a number of swimming pools are going to be closed because of construction work.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in Vesturbyur, the pool there is going to close for a month because of the work that's going on. And I can mention some of the other closures that will be taking place. But the reason I wanted to ask you that is that when we first came to Iceland as tourists a very long time ago, we would just drive around seeing all the pools. So, I don't really have a local or a favourite pool, even though there are so many in Reykjavik. But lots of people do have a local pool.
Yeah.
When their pool is closed, they'll have to think quite hard about which alternative they're going to go to.
Yeah, of course. And of course, Vestibaulag is like an old staple of pools. And there are a lot of people that may be 67 years and older that are like quit working. And it's kind of a, they go there every morning.
Yes.
At the same time, they sit in the same like hot jacuzzi or something.
Yeah,
and talk to the same people.
The same part of the hot
Yeah, it's just a part of their like social life. It's going to impact them immensely, I think.
Well, that pool, Vesturbyloik, which is in the west end of the city, is going to close from the 26th of May till the 23rd of June. There are repairs being planned.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the other pools that are going to close as well, Breitholt will close for a week, Árbær for about 2 weeks, and then Sundhöllin, which is the oldest pool in the city centre, will close for a week as well. And Gravavoslöj will also close for a week. So people are going to be forced into that position of thinking, where will I go instead?
Yes, that's the thing. And I'm, like I say, like swimming pools in Iceland is kind of a social thing.
Yes.
And it kind of ingrained in our identity. When we're small, we go to the pool whenever during the year. It doesn't matter if it's snowing, if it's cold, we go and visit the pool. That's yeah. just the thing. So it's gonna be really impactful for a lot of people. So they have to like figure out in advance where I'm going to go, what people I'm going to take with me.
Yes.
So it's going to be a big thing, I think.
Well, I go every single day and yeah. don't really have a local pool or a favorite. Well, I've got my gym membership, which means that, you know, I think there are four that I can use because I've paid already in Reykjavik, but I'm quite happy to spend a bit of money in other pools as yeah. well. We actually live in Kópavogur, and those Kópavogur pools are not part of the same gym membership. So
yes.
sometimes a chance to go and see some of the other ones. But every Saturday, every Sunday, my partner and I will say, which pool will we go to today? And
yes.
we might drive out to Mosso, or we might go to Alftanes, or whatever it happens to be. So I recommend shopping around.
Yes.
and trying different pools, because they've all got their own personality, haven't they?
They actually do. And just depend on like how they are and how big they are and the hot tubs. And do they have like cold tanks, and do they have yeah. like steam baths? There are so many things that you have to consider.
Yeah. And the cold pot is something that I enjoy. I'm always in there for 3 or 4 minutes every day.
Really,
and actually, we talk about Vesterbylo. I would make it a bit deeper because you can't get comfy in it. It's not deep enough.
No, I know. So that's why it's under construction.
Maybe they're going to deep. I think it's unlikely that they're going to close it just to deepen the cold tank for me. But you never know. And we had a really important moment, not just here at Roof, but I think across Iceland last week, when our friend and colleague Boy Augsten read his final news bulletin on Fretir.
Yeah.
And it was quite a moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of end of an era, because
yeah.
I think everybody remembers Bogi Ágústsson on the news.
Yeah.
He was
yeah.
like, when he started his news career, it's long before I was born. So I'm just used to seeing him on the TV, on the radio. You always know his voice. He's got a really distinctive voice.
Yes.
So you know that's him. So it's kind of like an end of an era, because he's been like an institution in of itself here
yes.
at Roof.
Well, he's also the voice that introduces and ends our Roof English Radio episode. So you'll hear his
oh.
voice in a couple of minutes as he finishes that. And of course, he will continue
yeah.
working for Roof. He's going to
yeah.
stay with his radio program, his
yes.
weekly radio program as well. So he's not retiring.
No.
But it is and was the final news bulletin.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that for, I think it was 48 years?
Yeah, 48 years, yeah.
The best part of half a century.
Mm-hmm.
You really are part of the nation, aren't you?
He is. And I think if you talk to anybody, no matter mm. the age or anything, even small children know who he is. And he's
yes.
kind of like a darling to people. I don't know, it's kind of a father figure, grandfather figure, I don't know.
Mm.
Because like he's got a kind of warm presence around him, I think.
Yes.
That people really like connect to when they see him on the screen or hear him on the radio.
And meeting him in person,
yeah,
he's one of
person.
The nicest
yeah,
people.
He's so warm and yeah. welcoming, and just really a gentleman. He's just like such a professional
yeah.
in what he does.
Incredibly supportive
yeah.
of everything I've done. You probably find that as well. But we'll continue to benefit from his friendship
of
and
course,
his
yes.
and his wisdom here.
And
at
Roof. He'll stay in house at
he
least one day
house.
A week.
Yes. Well, you hear his voice, as I say, in just a couple of seconds as he ends our program, as he always does, and that will continue as well. But for now, Erla, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you,
Erla Maria Davidsdottir, my guest here on The Week in Iceland on Roof English Radio. It is Roof English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. You can get in touch with us anytime. The email address is english@ruv.is. And now, as promised,
there's more from Roof English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Roof English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Roof.